Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Quality sleep optimizes recovery, helping professional and everyday athletes perform their best. Only the Sleep Number Smart Bed is proven to improve the quality of sleep and provides valuable insights that can be used to support overall wellness. Talent on a college team allows the best players to outperform their opponents, but in the NFL, everyone is talented. Players entering the draft need every competitive edge they can get, starting with quality sleep. Training will only get more intense as players transition to the pros, so to optimize recovery, they can rely on Sleep Number for consistent, high-quality sleep. Experience game-changing sleep with a Sleep Number smart bed only at a Sleep Number store.
Welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we're presented by our good friends at ArborTech. I had the privilege of using their stuff this weekend. They sent me the whole kit and caboodle. And first of all, if something comes in a fancy case, I'm automatically in. I don't care if the product is trash. If you give me, like, my wife just got this new.
Now we got Borat jokes.
Fucking go.
Borat jokes are back.
Here we go.
Yeah, Borat. I watched it this weekend. Oh, my God.
Damn it.
I'll do a little preview at the beginning of the show, but not right now. So I got this. My wife got this new hairdryer that came in, like, a leather case. And I was like, that thing can never dry your hair. You can't ever get rid of it because having a leather case hair dryer is incredible. Even if you don't even use it. These ArborTech tools are the same way. Came in a wonderful case. You can see it in the social media clip. You're going to love it. I used a power chisel. Guess what I made?
What'd you make?
What?
Like, so there's so many things that you can make with these tools. Like, you can carve out different. People have done bald eagles. They've done sea turtles. I chose to make a little incense holder because sitting in the blow-up hot tub. Still mosquitoes are going out, and I have these little citronella incense candles, and it's just been going straight onto the coffee table that's out there, the little table out there. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to take some of this what I have. Power chisel did a little decorative design where it's floral. You're going to be able to check that out on Friday when a longtime toolie drops. Make sure to go to arbortechtools.com with the promo code zero. You can get all that stuff for the low, low price of 10% off. It's unbelievable equipment. Make sure you check it out. Today, we have 5 rounds in the magazine, and this one is going to give Kate a little bit of trouble. I have to admit, I knew that Kate wouldn't like this, and I've been steering away from content that Kate doesn't like because she is with child, as they say in the biz. So I've not been talking about meat sweats or hard-boiled eggs or steamed vegetables or any of that stuff. But today we have to break that because round number one, give me 3 Lance Corporals right damn now who have their scuba ski mop gear and are ready to climb up in a tree to suck those murder hornets up with a vacuum in order to save my beloved honeybees. Don't make me pick the ones. Round number 2, a special round for all the bath boys out there. A spot in Japan has 23 different types of bath. Coffee, red wine, beer, butter beer, whisker do's, whisker don'ts. The baths come with or without the scooter sticks. And round number 3, nothing says the spirit of core like a lime green dress with pink socks. We're going to tell you a story from 2009 that honestly, this morning, I came across this post on Reddit. And I was like, oh, that's pretty funny that they did that. So it was just a little meme that was on Reddit. And I went and looked up the story. I had a case of the Kate weepies this morning.
Wow.
I was reading it and legit got emotional reading about this story of a soldier in England who wore a pink or a green dress to his buddy's funeral. It's an incredible story. Round number 4, anytime there's a little innovation, we forget about the failures along the way. There's been failures, but they are glorious, and we're going to walk through 10 of the most outrageous military weapon ideas that are now declassified. Sometimes I look at people from like the 60s or 70s and I think, you guys, you're kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a wild. I mean, we talked about during the Cold War that them trying to build that nuke thing under the ice, not realizing ice would melt and shift.
Like, it's like you look back and people are like, oh, back in the 50s, you guys were fucking idiots. Mm-hmm. Like, you didn't know shit. Mm-hmm. You didn't have a cell phone, you losers.
Take
How about that?
Boomers. Dum-dums. God.
Huh. We're going to get into all that. Here's some music. I went back on a little slippery slope and watched the Borat movie. I didn't have high expectations at all for the Borat movie. It's because, I mean, how many more Borat type of jokes can he really have? Like, my wife, Vagine, like, and all that. Mm-hmm. I gotta admit, I was cracking up like it was the first time I watched it.
I saw a tweet this morning, and Large was talking about it on the radio, and apparently he loved it too and said it was hysterical. He said it's the hardest he's laughed in a long time. So now I'm curious, because I had heard the same things, that maybe they didn't need to make a Borat sequel, but now I'm hearing people whose opinions I actually respect, and I'm curious.
Well, let me give you one from someone you don't respect. I also watched it, and Oh, what, Mop Katie? I didn't love it.
Oh, surprise. Can I guess why?
Yes.
Well, one reason why, there is a part where I thought, okay, this might ruin it for me. Because I'm all about pranking other Americans.
Yes.
Like, if you're an American, you deserve to be pranked. When you're the global leader in everything, essentially, you deserve to be pranked. You could take shots at the top. When you're going the other direction, like, for instance, whenever Sacha Baron Cohen walks in a very, very offensive Jewish costume where he has, like, the almost like a caricature of a Jewish person from World War II, and he's talking to actual Holocaust victims looking like that, yeah, and asking him if he's going to burn them or eat them, I'm like, ugh.
That's just, no. I don't think that's funny. I guess there's some people.
That was the. If he left that scene out, the movie's brilliant, I think.
Yeah.
But putting that in there, it's like, what are you doing,
I think,
man?
Too often, sometimes comedians will say, oh, it's just a joke, and they think that that's just the catch-all to allow them to do whatever they want, and it's not necessarily always funny. So that's a little disturbing to hear that.
This is a deep cut, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of how I felt about Croc's Kid, where Times have been tough the last few years, and people are so afraid to lose their jobs, they'll help anyone no matter what in the most polite way they can because they need their jobs. And I feel like a lot of people got stuck in his thing, and I just felt bad for them. I don't know. I couldn't enjoy it because I just felt bad for people.
Okay.
I was, like, cringy.
Now, see, that's the worst reason. I mean, these people, like, the people in the dress, like, you deserve it. If you are playing along, there's a certain element. If you're the shop owner, and he's saying that I want to give my 15-year-old to Mike Pence, and you're like, this will be a nice dress to do that in. You deserve everything.
Yeah,
you get.
That's but like the phone guy, this guy in the cell phone store when he's clearly looking up porn on the thing, and you can tell the guy just doesn't know what to do. And I was like, oh, this poor man. Oh my god.
Yeah, but I'm sure he got paid handsomely for that. That's
yes,
funny.
That's true.
I mean,
that's true.
That kind of stuff I think is fine. Like, but when you're taking a shot at legitimate Holocaust victims, like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
man? Like, that to me, I don't have very many lines. That's a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how long ago it was at this point. It's still just not okay. But another good documentary that I watched last night that's only going to interest me and will probably make you three cringe when I say it, the Letter to You documentary about Bruce Springsteen's newest album and the making of that was phenomenal. It was moving. It was great.
Don't worry about that. We'll cut that.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. Oh, that ruined the entire
New Jersey.
Vibe of the documentary.
I got it.
Fucking Bruce Springsteen. Unbelievable. All right, let's get going with the actual show now. We're going to hop into a little bit of Murder Hornets. I have to be honest. I think this is like the third time I've said it. There's no good news at all in the world. I even went to, there's a Reddit webpage that's called Feel Good News. Even they're struggling. Like, they essentially the entire page right now is just dogs.
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
Well,
they just, Kate, what are we doing? Kate's got mouthful of oatmeal.
Chow's continuous with Kate
in the show. This is like, we're not actually just chilling at a diner, even though it
can
feels
you
like,
hear
I would
me?
Love
can
to
you,
chill at a diner with you
can
guys.
Can you hear
though.
Me? Can you
yes,
hear me eating
you
it?
You can hear it.
Oh.
Like, it's smackaroos. Like, you got honey in your mouth, Winnie the Pooh.
Is this your first time on a podcast?
It's cream of wheat. It's super fine. So I'm like, they won't be able to hear me eating this.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Sounds like an oyster sliding down your gullet.
You know what is good news? Chaps, I think yesterday, we're recording this on a Monday. Yesterday, Sunday. Sunday was a phenomenal day of NFL football. And actually, I think the games on Saturday, the college football games were pretty good too. But the NFL especially had some really, really awesome games. So I think that
and
was
good
positive.
Baseball too.
Yeah, true. So,
yeah, I woke up and saw that play that ended the World Series Game 4. What an unbelievable play that was. Crazy.
Anyway,
Murder Hornets. So I was going through the news just to try to find stuff. And this one stuck out because I legitimately feel terrible for some of these people. Whenever you're in a job that's at like the EPA or whatever job that it is that you end up having to go chase down murder hornets, You don't expect that. Department of Agriculture. So if you're working for the Department of Agriculture, maybe you think you go inspect some potatoes from time to time. Maybe you have to go into like a chicken house that's going to be gross. I don't think you ever expect to legitimately put on like mop level 4 and go into, or mop level 1, which is lowest, highest, forgot. Mm-hmm. Mop level 1 is everything, right?
You're just mopped the fuck out is all.
Whatever, yeah. He's still in that with chaps.
All right, so you have everything on. You have like the helmet on, you have the long gloves, you have everything on. To go in there, you don't expect that. So there's these murder hornets that were in a little bit of a tree. This story comes from Plain, Washington, out of the Associated Press. Kate, walk us through the bee story.
All right. So as we remember the big scuttlebutt over the summer, murder hornets had started coming into the States right as things were at their worst. Everyone was like, great, COVID, now murder hornets. Yeah, not great. So heavily protected crews in Washington State worked on Saturday to destroy the first nest of so-called murder hornets that was discovered in the United States. The Agriculture Department spent weeks searching, trapping, and using dental floss to tie tracking devices, oh my god, to Asian giant hornets, which can deliver painful stings to people and spit venom, but are the biggest threat to honeybees that farmers depend on to pollinate crops. I haven't seen somebody tie string to a bee since a frat boy was trying to impress us back in my college days.
Oh, I used to do it all the time. I love to do that.
It works. You see a guy with a bee on a string at the party, you're like, this guy's interesting.
I didn't know that was a thing. But
You can tie it around their little thorax, and they'll just be like, going around in a little circle, and you can have them on a string.
That's bee on a string.
That's pretty cool when you consider how difficult it is. All right.
No, put them in the freezer for an hour. Then they're all tuckered out. You tie them up. You got a pet bee.
Okay.
Anyways. So they come back. Right. Kind of like Angela's cat.
But doing this with murder hornets, probably not as fun or easy. But if you did roll into one of my parties with a murder hornet on a string, panties are dropping.
Oh, anyways, yeah.
Yeah. Nine months later, the nest near the Canadian border in Blaine is about the size of a basketball and contained an estimated 100 to 200 hornets. Crews wearing thick protective suits vacuumed the invasive insects from the cavity of a tree into large canisters Saturday.
And I think when people hear there's 1 to 200, you're like, it's 1 to 200 bees, Michael. How big could it possibly be? Well, each one of these murder hornets is bigger than a quarter. Like, these things are huge.
Huge.
So having 200 right by you would be scary. Scary.
And the suit prevents the hornet's 6-millimeter-long stingers from hurting workers, who also wore face shields to keep the poison from being spit into their eyes as these things shoot out.
And I want to point out, because the article doesn't, they were also social distancing while they were in the tree.
I was literally just going to ask that. Yeah. The tree will be cut down to extract newborn hornets. They're even coming for the babies. And learn if any queens have left the hive already. That would suck. You get the whole thing out, and it's like you miss the queen, and she's just starting somewhere else.
Find the queens. I wonder if their bears are anywhere near.
No. That's a topic for the new podcast from Barstool Sports.
Yeah,
Officials suspect more nests may be in the area, and we'll keep searching. And they have a news brief planned to give us the status on that soon. If I was in the area, I'd for sure be paying attention. Despite their nickname and the hype that has stirred fears of an already bleak year, the world's largest hornets kill at most only a few dozen people a year in Asian countries.
What's a few dozen? I feel like they got a lot over there.
You got a baker's dozen little honey cookies. The experts say it is probably far less. Meanwhile, hornets, wasps, and bees in the U.S. kill an average of 62 people a year. The real threat from Asian giant hornets, which are 2 inches long, is their devastating attacks on honeybees. That makes me hate them so much.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
I'm picturing these sweet little honeybees buzzing along, hopping on our flowers, making our sweet honey that we know Chaps loves. Mm-hmm. And these dickheads come along. They're already under siege from problems like mites, diseases, pesticides, and loss of food, these little honeybees. And this invasive insect is normally found in Japan, China, Thailand, South Korea, Vietnam, and other Asian countries. Washington State and British Columbia are the only places the hornets have been found on the continent. The nest was found after the Agriculture Department trapped some hornets this week and used dental floss, again, to attach radio trackers to some of them. Imagine coming back to the nest and everybody's like, hey, Carl, what's that thing on you? And you're like, I don't know, man. And they're like, oh, fuck, get the fuck out. Like, he's... giving up our
spot. Yeah, he's got a little bug on him. Yeah. I think they should be called bully hornets, just going after these little sweet honeybees. It's just so cruel to do that. Why would you do that? Why would you go after the honeybees?
I hate that. It reminds me of like the movie Ants or something. Remember when the evil ant crew attacked the innocent little ant crew?
Oh yeah.
It was very dramatic.
But they did pick up and were able to make one of the other articles about it said that they were able to pick up through the radio transmitter that was tied through the fishing string or the dental floss. They were able to pick up some of the things that the bees were saying. And it turns out that all of them at the same time were just mumbling O'Doyle rules while they were going
O'Doyle
by.
O'Doyle rules.
Kate, were you mentioning, when you were talking about the ants, were you mentioning the story of the Zelensky children who were shrunken by their father?
No, but that there was a very friendly ant there as well.
Yeah, sorry.
Worth remembering. Rest in peace.
Yeah, R.I.P. in peace, auntie. Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's pretty much it. Just want to keep people abreast. I just think that would be a great job to be like in charge of the agriculture. Be like, who do I hate? You're going. Because that was one of the biggest like privileges or the things that I really relished the most of being in charge was being able to pick people who I thought deserve to go do some extra duty and just making it seem to if it was random.
Yeah.
It was never random.
No.
You're going to police call. You're going to sweep the parking lot because I fucking hate you.
Yeah. PFC Snuffy, you were late for PT this morning. Looks like you can use some extra work. Come here.
I too would just want to be, I would need the utmost assurance that these bee suits could protect me from these murder hornet stings.
Well, what would you do? And we're gonna make
sure. How do you figure that out? I'd say
pinch test.
Yeah,
bring some needles over here and jab me. Let's see.
I think you send somebody down to like Academy or Dick's Sporting Goods and have them pick up one of those little blow dart things. Just try to hit me with the blow dart.
Yeah.
I almost ordered one over the quarantine.
That probably would have been a good idea. A couple things. Yeah. Chapped mop 4 is the highest level of mop gear.
Mm. So I was right. Yeah.
Yes. In your defense, I had to Google that because I didn't remember either. Number 2, Washington State. I've never been there. Have you, either of you or any of you ever been there?
Yeah, yes. We went for the Starbucks.
Oh, that's
trip.
Right. Yeah. I would love to go there, especially I'd love to go to Wine Country, the Washington Pinots. Unbelievable.
I got to tell you, I went right after. It was like right after my divorce probably, and I was like, I'm going to go find myself. And I took 2 weeks and I rented a car and I stayed in hostels and I went all through Oregon and Washington. And I ended up making friends in Seattle who took me on a tubing trip and took me biking around the city. And I made out with a guy.
Nice. Kind of like
it was a hot patoon.
Like an eat, pray, love, wine, make out type of story.
It really was. I had a great time. Loved it out there.
And then, I'm sorry, this is just a thought that came into my head. So I would be remiss not to say it because I don't think that's fair to the listeners. But 14-year-old me was thinking, instead of a vacuum, if you just went in there with an aluminum baseball bat and started swinging, and then you just hear the little thump every time you catch and make contact with one of them?
No, I think you got to go with the old-fashioned hairspray and lighter trick
there. Oh, yeah.
You got to absolutely bring the heat.
I used WD-40 for that move.
If you're
one kid that I went to school with at Lake Asbury tried the old lighter and hairspray thing, blew his face damn near off.
You gotta be careful, man. Yo, think about that. Think about the stuff we did when we were little and how stupid it was and how injured you could have gotten doing the WD-40 or hairspray. I mean, you're basically holding a bomb in your hand, a miniature or firecracker that could have exploded if you held it too long. Unbelievable.
I was gonna say, if somebody fart flames your nest, you have to leave the country forever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. One of my buddies that I met down here, that he went to our church or something, I forget where I meet him at, lost his leg in a motorcycle accident, but he's like 34 or 35. He said, everybody just assumes that I lost my leg in war because of the age that I am. Mm-hmm. I imagine that guy that I went to school with in Lake Asbury, everybody just assumes that he was like a soldier. Like that's what happened to him. Like he got burned in an IED explosion. And he's like, no, when I was 7 years old, I tried to light on some murder hornets in a tree. Mm. Next thing you know, boom.
Mm. Oh, man.
It'll get you.
I will say, though, that's one thing I don't do anymore, and I kind of miss it, the old WD-40 flamethrower. I miss that. So if anyone has a reason.
We can do that safe with our good friend Elon Musk. Let's move on to round number 2. This one comes to Japan. I just think this would be delightful because one of the people on this podcast, one of the co-hosts on this podcast definitely deserves a little relaxation time. Too bad she's not in Japan, because it is absolutely incredible here in Japan. This article came out about one of the places in Japan. I'll go through it real quick. On a busy morning, on a day you feel drained of energy, have you ever joked about how you could just dive into a pool of coffee?
Don't mess with me till I've had my coffee, guys.
Yeah, don't even think about it.
Don't even think about it.
There's a place in Hakone, Japan that makes this a reality. Billing itself as a spa amusement park, this place, I'm not going to continue to say his name, is known locally as just Unison. It is a unique hot spring experience that features 23 different types of themed baths, including green tea, wine, sake, and coffee pools. The website says these experiences are meant to emulate luxury enjoyed by the likes of Cleopatra. Not only Cleopatra, but also, who was that basketball player that did it? What's his name? He played with Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire. He used to do a red wine bath as a form of relaxation as well. The park includes a hot tub terrace named after the anime series Evangelion? Is that that? Is that what that is? Evangelion?
Evangelion. I had that done a couple years ago.
So they have all different types of places, and they go through. Did you guys see the picture? I put it in there. So essentially what this place is, it's a adult theme park, but you can also bring kids because they have water slides that look so much fun too. But these pools, I always envision, like, if you're going to a wine spot, that it would have a wine pool. It would be in a nice little room. It would be classy. Like, I'm talking classy. Like, the tubs would be made of cedar, something like that. Ooh. These are not that wet. It just looks like it has a huge bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon that's dumping into the pool. They also have green tea. They also have coffee. It made me think, if you guys had to bathe in one liquid, it cannot be water, it cannot be wine, it cannot be coffee, it cannot be Gatorade, what would it be?
There's one answer, and there's one answer only. Shout to Augustus Gloop, chocolate milk.
Oh, I don't know. Chocolate milk, you're just prime for a butthole yeast infection.
And okay? Milk's going to get a little rancid on you after a while, my friend. Yeah.
I don't care. I'm drinking that shit while I lay in it.
I'm eating it right now. Cream of wheat. I feel like the luxurious little cream of wheat, it's almost like exfoliating beads, and it's so warm and gloopy, and I feel like it's the kind of thing where I could stand on the edge of the pool and flop backwards and just, it's almost like quicksand, lay on the top of it. Now, I would probably drown soon after, but in the immediate time, it would be a goddamn delight.
And I think that you're on track, but I'm going to switch it up just a little bit. I would go with shrimp and grits because you can use the shrimp as like a little bit of what, Kate? You can use the shrimp as like a flotation device where you're just hanging out, where you put it around yourself kind of like that body pillow. Really? And so shrimp and grits bath. Shrimp would be the body pillow of the protein.
I would like to vomit.
I feel like that smell might get to you.
I will tell you. The idea of a spa amusement park type thing where your kids are occupied while you get to do spa shit sounds delightful.
That's a million-dollar idea for sure.
And that each of the 20 pools is a different theme. That shit seems tacky, but it is so much fun. I stayed at the Madonna Inn once. Have you ever heard of it in Northern California?
No, that sounds real trashy, though.
It's so trashy. It's on all these like travel shows all the time because it's one of those places where all 200 of the rooms are a different theme.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Like, a lot of fucking happens in there. I stayed in the caveman room, okay? That's all I'll tell you. But they have like...
Had a Brendan Fraser type of vibe in there.
Yeah, they have like Jungle Rock and Romance and the Rose Room and Desert Sands and Pioneer America, where you're a dirty little pioneer. But anyway, they have like antique cars.
Yeah,
another
pioneer
room.
Woman. She's a freak. She makes those big old thick pancakes and just lays her fucking ham hocks on you. Goodness gracious.
You won't even know, but you can stay in the Italy room in San Francisco. Yeah, there's a lot going on in there. But there's a
steamy
golfer's room.
And a cast iron skillet.
Golfer's room, hole in one. You know what I mean?
There you go. Hole in two sometimes.
Or two sometimes. If you're feeling loose.
Have either of you ever gone to a spa where you sit in a giant bath like this, though, with other people?
Yeah, I've actually done one of the ones that they have here because I lived in Japan. They had the little spas where they're filled with like minnow type of things.
Oh.
And you could get in and they eat your dead skin off.
That's
like
cool.
They'll come around and just like peck you. It feels awesome. Like, it's incredible. But if they had, going back to what Kate said, if they had one of these places And you're not going to use real milk because that's wasteful. Our guy Tanner in Wisconsin would be pissed if we're using real milk here. But let's say you have just like a cereal-themed spa for kids where you can get in. They have the water, but they make it a milky white with like some additives or whatever. And then they just have like the floats are going to be like the marshmallows from Lucky Charms and shit like that. That would be so much fun. Or if you had a water slide that you could get into like a big old Applejack and go down, that would be incredible.
And then Tony the Tiger comes out and eats you.
Yeah.
That too. Excitement. Here in New York City, they have the Russian baths and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And some of the people that we work with are on the weekends, like, hey, we're getting a group together and going.
I don't think you have to be discreet. It's PFD commoner.
PFD, but like, I think Liz, some other people that I work with, they'll like get groups together and go, and it's like unisex, whatever, and you can drink in them and like have crack open a beer in these giant heated pools, and like they said, it's super neat, like really beautiful tiles and like legit old school ass Russian bath type shit. And I want
complete
to go
with the old school ass Russians.
But it's one of those. To me, that's one of those places that if you don't know the ropes, it's really easy to embarrass yourself really quickly. So I've always been too embarrassed to go. I've always been too intimidated.
First time that you go, make sure that you're going with our friends at 3Chi, because 3Chi is the leader in hemp-derived cannabinoid products. It'll be perfect for you if you're at the bath. All products are formulated by a biochemist and made in the USA with USA-grown hemp. They are the first ones ever to release Delta 8 products, and they were first federal legal THC products sold in the United States. It is gummies, it is vapes, it is tinctures, it is oils, it is all kinds of stuff. They even have cookies and shit like that on the website. Now, go to 3chi.com, enter the promo code 0 at checkout to receive 5% off. It's 21 to purchase. It's awesome. Large is all about it. He's doing Sober October, but he is not all the way sober because he's using 3chi and enjoying himself, sleeping pretty well, I would imagine. It has all the benefits of Delta 9 without the laziness, anxiety, paranoia, or mental fogginess. Make sure you go to 3chiCBD.com. At Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook as well. Again, that promo code is 3C3CHI.com with the promo code 0 at checkout to receive 5% off. Let's move into round number 3. This story I thought was just going to be a little goofing thing. Like, so I was scrolling through Reddit, like I mentioned this morning, and I saw this post that came up, and the picture is obviously a military funeral, and it's some dudes that are wearing like their normal military attire whenever they're at the funeral. Some are in pretty typical funeral attire, wearing the white shirt, the black suit, and all that, like the Men in Black type of suit. Well, I went in to see it because there's one guy that's wearing a bright yellow dress and pink socks. So I thought, I got to see what the rest of the story is. And I'm normally, Kate is very much that way all the time, where she has to know the rest of the story.
I need context.
I'm not that fella. What'd you say?
Oh, I said I need context. Yeah.
Context. All right. Yeah. So she needs a little bit of context. So I'm going to give that to you right now. So Kevin Elliott was a private in the British Army visiting home on a 2-week leave in 2009. Elliott was about to go off to fight in Afghanistan and told his good friend, Barry Delaney, that he was terrified, but they both remembered a pact that they made years earlier. 3 years ago, they had agreed that Delaney would wear a dress, the brighter the better, if Elliott was ever killed in action. Their unusual covenant would be realized sooner than either could have ever expected. Private Elliott died last month in the victim of a Taliban ambush, and this happened in 2009 in Afghanistan. It was just after 10 a.m. last Wednesday when Delaney squeezed into a tight lime green mini dress and donned a pair of 99p pink knee-high socks. I guess that's like super bright. Is that what that means? 99p?
Sure.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, sure. Sounds about right. Yeah.
That must be the brightest pink that you have. He looked in the mirror and poured a vodka neat, which is his friend's favorite drink. For an hour, Delaney sat drinking in the pink sofa on the 10th floor flat of a tower block on the eastern fringe of Dundee. 8 weeks earlier, the two friends had sat there and swapped stories during Elliot's fortnight break from his tour in Helmand Province. Then Elliot, a Black Watch infantryman. What a name.
Yeah, I just thought the same thing as you read it. That's an unbelievable unit name.
Yeah.
He had told his friend that he was terrified of Afghanistan with its innumerable booby traps and redoubtable enemy that seemed to be getting deadlier by the week. The 24-year-old believed that he would never come back if he returned to Helmand. Well, his premonition was correct, and he didn't. And so because he had his friend that was in the military, I think this is a beautiful tribute, because we oftentimes talk about when people come back, they have this almost persona that they're the last action hero, that they are always serious and stoic about every single thing. I think showing immense sadness that your friend is gone while wearing a bright green dress and a pink socks is such a great tribute. If I would have been killed in action, I would have loved for one of my friends to do that. Because, you know, like, if you believe in heaven or if you're an afterlife fan at all, like, the principle of somebody looking down and seeing their best friend make a fool of themselves, you just have to laugh at that. Like, I think it's – and the fact that his parents, like, the guy who's died, his parents loved the tribute. His grandmother loved the tribute. The idea of this friend losing somebody that he loves so much, going up to the grandmother and hugging her and not wanting to let go while he's wearing this dress – is so touching to me.
It brings a certain level of levity to the day. Obviously, it's a tremendously sad day, but then you see that dude in the dress and it kind of gives you a chuckle. And also, I think this is one of those things where people say things all the time, but they don't actually follow through on them. They say, you know, if we're not married by 30, we'll marry each other. Or, you know, if you die, I'll wear a costume to your funeral. And that never actually happens. So to see it, this pact followed through on, is really special. I think that makes it even better.
There's a part in the article that's from The Guardian that says, most of all, Delaney remembers trying to hold it together as the eulogies were read out at Barnhill Cemetery. Then the shock of the shots as the Black Watch riflemen fired across the grave. Photographs of the burial show Delaney collapsed in graveside grief. I was bending down to ask him if he liked the dress's color, he said. His legs gave away, and it dawned on him that Elliot might not answer back.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that is just like, a perfect buddy tribute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's a testament to how, like, so many soldiers that they have that break halfway through, and that's when they're already in a spot they know is dangerous, and knowing what, like, it's one thing when you first go not knowing what to expect, but going, knowing exactly what it is, going home, and then having to go back again, and how much courage that takes is pretty incredible. So,
and so soon, there is... Army handlers, because the Marines, we didn't do that. Like, our tours were 7, 8, 9 months, and we weren't allowed to go home. But the Army guys at that time were doing, like, 14, 15-month tours, and they were going home halfway through. And without fail, every time you would talk to somebody that was getting ready to go home, it was largely, I don't want to do this. My command is making me. I'd rather just stay and just get it over with. Because the process of going home, getting there, and realistically on your 10 days convalescent leave or whatever you're on, you're going to be coming back 5 days later, seeing your family for only 5 days and then going straight back into action. That is, I mean, that's almost cruel, really, the way that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I mean,
did you have to go back, Cons?
Yeah, no, whenever you went? I left. I was, it was lucky enough that I got to go home, and it was right in smack dab in the middle of my deployment. So I got to be home for Christmas and New Year's Eve. And I actually tried to work it around that to where I could let one of my soldiers go at that time. But, you know, the way the schedules worked out and the fact that I was switching units midway through, it just didn't work out. So they said, this is either you go home now or you can't go home. So I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go. But then I can remember a few nights sitting there and thinking about, oh, man, I got to go back to that. And it's kind of crazy, really, when you think, Kate, you made such a good point. I can remember you could talk to everybody and their brother, read everything. You don't really fully appreciate and understand what a deployment's going to be like till you actually get there for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that, like you said, and just knowing that, all right, I made it halfway, I'm safe, but what about the next half? So it's a very difficult thing to come to grips with, especially for most guys who are on the younger side of things, or, you know, on their first deployment. So I completely understand what they're talking about.
Yeah, and it's a testament to Elliot going back and going through it. And, I mean, clearly the story goes on, but it talks about how Elliot was telling Delaney, like, how much he really didn't want to go back, and was sharing stories of some horrible things that had been happening. And so it just fucking breaks your heart.
Yeah,
it's really sad. But
and it's wild to point out, too, that he was talking about in 2009, what are we doing over there? We're not doing anything. And then we're still there 11 years later, like still doing the same shit, spinning our wheels and trying to come up with an answer. Just this week, there's 32 different provinces that are inside Afghanistan. 24 of those were attacked by the Taliban just this week. We're not getting anywhere. We haven't gotten anywhere in a long time. I just thought that the tribute here, even though the reason behind it is obviously sad and we don't celebrate the death of anyone, obviously, I just think that there's certain tributes to me that make it stand out, and like these people are somebody's friend. Like, and I think that we lose that at times, that these are people who are dying. There are people in Afghanistan who are dying. They're the same type of souls that we are here. Like the civilians there that are dying at a rapid pace as well, including now, like with the 24 of the 32 provinces being attacked. These are people that are losing their lives for essentially no reason at all. And it's crushing. Let's move on to round number four. A little bit more brevity, a lot more brevity, actually, because there is certain pictures that just make you laugh and you think there's no way this could actually be true. I came across this article last night and it's entitled 10 Hilariously Weird Secret Military Projects That Are Now Declassified. Because for a long time, I mean, our friends at DARPA are going to be pissed, but they work on some weapons that just don't work. Like, they don't work, even though it's good initiative, bad judgment. Some of these don't work. I'm going to give you guys, I'm going to go through the top 10, starting with number 10. And you say, with if modern technology is the same that it is now, could we make this work and would it work? Okay?
Okay.
Are you guys ready?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Number 10 is called Project Tiptoe. Now, this one, it's a perfect spot. Like, the picture of it is hilarious. So, it is essentially a project that took place in the end of the 1940s. Tiptoe was not only a clever pun, but it also was a clever way of extending the range of early fighter jets. No, this picture that they show here is not a formation flight. It's an F-84 Thunderjets are mounted wingtip to wingtip with a B-29 bomber. So essentially, it's like this B-29 bomber, which is a bigger plane, like the size of like a Southwest plane or whatever. Mm. And it is flying, and it has two little planes on its wings that it could shoot out and go get them. Like, it's like, it's essentially like a military working dog handler for planes, where it's like, hold, 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 release my jet, get them. And then it goes off and gets them. Do you guys think with modern technology, this is something that we can make work?
Okay. No, just looking at it, I would never want to be the test pilot on that. It looks like two rickety planes on the end of her wings.
I will say, overall, no. For this entire article, you're going to hear, I think the names of these projects are awesome. And, you know, maybe some of the names are the reasons they didn't work because the name stunk. It was just too weird. But for this one, Project Tiptoe, number one, you look at this picture and you just think, oh, that looks cute. It looks really cute, right? I will say that they would you do this when they were doing test pilots and trying to break the sound barrier at first. They would just bring them up and then release them. I think this is like the modern day version of just refueling in the air. So I think it could work. I just don't think we would do it.
I think all of these are essentially, they took the drawings of a second grader and tried to make them a military operation.
Yes, yes.
Without, if you're in second grade, this is something you draw. It's a plane holding other planes.
Yeah, don't you get it?
Number nine.
Number
is
nine
easy.
Is a good one, too. So number nine. This one is called Project 1794, which I'm more apt, just based on the name, to believe it'll work. If you have a specific year and the name of a project, I'm almost positive it's going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this one is just a flying saucer. Legit, the same kind a kid would draw with two little glass bubbles in it for the people. It looks exactly like a kid's idea of a flying saucer. I can't imagine how this thing would even intake air or ever work.
Ultimately,
no.
What was even the point? It doesn't really describe why they were even attempting this.
I think it just because it's cool. Like,
yeah.
Like the
it looks flying, cool.
It just looks, it looks like a very stereotypical science fiction movie flying saucer. Just because of the aerodynamics. So you look at the flying saucer, the aerodynamics in that, I think would be great. Now, granted, I don't know anything about aerodynamics at all, but I think that this would be great. And then you have what looks to be at least 2.5 feet glass bubble that goes over for your head, which I would imagine ruins the entire aerodynamics of the craft.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Creating drag, so I think we're out on Project 1794.
Yeah.
The next one up. is Project Pigeon. Kate, your initial thoughts on Project Pigeon?
This made me incredibly sad for the pigeons. Yeah.
All right. So this one, missile engineers in the 1940s didn't have the luxury of computer guidance and looked in some odd places for solutions. Stealing three pigeons into the front of a missile, the pigeons were trained to recognize a target and peck at a small screen displaying the target area once the missile was launched. In theory, cables attached to the bird's head would guide the missile on target. In reality, computer guidance was making breakthroughs, eliminating the need for pigeon-guided missiles. I would like to meet the fella or the lady who pitched this idea from the get-go.
It was not a
picture,
lady.
I picture it's some dude who came in, maybe a little drunk from the night before, and he says, all right, now hear me out.
Here,
we put
listen,
pigeons
listen.
In the missiles. Like, all right, Larry, your drinking has become a problem. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because in what world does this make any sense?
I mean, how do you get it? I'm pretty knowledgeable about how to get animals to do things. How do you get a pigeon to realize that that's what I need to be pecking in order
well,
to do it?
Well, I take photos of beautiful pigeons around the city that I see. I always put them on my Instagram story. I'm like, Butte, Stunner, whatever. I highlight beautiful pigeons. This guy reached out to me from Staten Island the other week. I was like, you know, that group of pigeons you just put up on that roof, those are racing pigeons, those beautiful pigeons. My dad does it. They meet up in this park like once a month and they race their pigeons. They teach their pigeons like the course and the pigeons like race each other. It's like, what?
That's impressive.
They're really smart. They like know, they are really good with knowing where they're at. It's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah, those birds, when they train birds, it's incredible. Like the falconers and things like that. I would love to get involved with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
The next one up is the Convair XFY Pogo.
Crap,
now this
man.
One, it looks
crap.
Like it could work. Like yes. I understand what they're thinking here. It just looks like a propeller plane that's a jet that is basically going straight up and down at 90 degrees.
It looks like before it would take off like a spaceship shuttle, but it's just a plane.
Yeah, like it looks like a little mini space shuttle. Mm-hmm. Before the days of vertical takeoff fighters like the Harrier and the F-35, Convair sought to use a propeller-driven fighter to achieve a vertical takeoff, launched vertically using its massive 5,850 horsepower engine. The Pogo had a theoretical top speed of 610 miles per hour, and testing revealed it could cruise at 300 miles per hour while the engine was on the lowest power setting. While capable of successfully taking off vertically, the Pogo was riddled with technical issues and the program was canceled. I think this one we could make it work now.
100% could, because obviously we already do have planes that have this technology, but this did remind me of back in the day when we were younger. I think it was the Pepsi points or whatever, and they said if you had, you know, 10 billion Pepsi points, you could get a Harrier jet, and they had that in the commercial, but then they didn't account for some dude who actually collected the amount needed, and they're like, oh yeah, sorry, you can't have a Harrier jet, sorry.
Yeah, you got to sue in that. That's false advertising big time. Next one up is Project Habakkuk, which
this one
is great.
This one stinks out loud, but go ahead.
I love this one. I think they can make this one work. Have you ever looked at an iceberg and thought this would make a great aircraft carrier?
No, not
during
once.
During World War II, metal was in such short supply, traditional ships were at risk of being sunk by U-boats, so a proposal was designed making an iceberg, an official aircraft carrier. The plan was to build a ship out of a mix of wood pulp and ice. So you're just essentially taking a little bit of sawdust, mixing it with an iceberg, and like, oh yeah, that motherfucker. Now it's an aircraft carrier. Kate, you think this could work now?
It says they made a 1,000-ton prototype in Canada, but there was too many problems. This is something I'll say I would never work, but like they said, they had no steel or metal left because World War II, they're so desperate. This is a cool, like, thinking outside the box idea. It's like a neat, creative idea, but no,
it's certainly neat and outside the box, but, you know, one of those complications being that ice melts, I would think, would just throw a whole big wrench into this problem. And then all of a sudden,
no matter how much
these
wood pulp you put on there. I mean, I've seen different NBA games where they put the basketball court over whenever they just had the hockey game the night before and it sweats like hell still.
Mm-hmm.
So I imagine trying to land your plane on that. If they would have just looked at what goes on with the Boston Bruins when the Celtics have to play the next night, they should have known that this would never work.
Great
sweatier
point
than Captain Cons in wintertime.
The next one, a Chrysler TV-8 tank. This bad boy, it looks like a bug, honestly. Nuclear energy was all the rage in the 1950s with the Cold War raging. It seemed that nuclear was on the way of the future. Taking the nuclear craze a bit too far, Chrysler designed this strange prototype tank. The design is odd on its own, with all components of the tank stored in massive bulbous turret, but by far the strangest part was a nuclear reactor providing power from within the turret. Fortunately, the idea didn't get very far. I think that is just the basic principle of you not understanding what nuclear is.
For right? people like, who can't see these, this one looks like a corn dog got dipped in metal and was just gently placed on top of tank.
That is a phenomenal description, because that's exactly what it looks like.
Thank you.
Or a whoopee cushion with a stem.
Ooh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That just has tracked wheels underneath it. But
to your point, Chaps, I don't know that I would feel comfortable getting in a tank that was sitting on a nuclear reactor.
No, and it'd be very hot. I mean, I've seen enough of what goes on with Mark Watney in Mars, where I know that if you just have a little bit of a nuclear reaction, then it's going to be very steamy. Mm-hmm. Rolling around in Baghdad in one of those bad boys would be very, very hot.
Speaking of rolling around, number four, the Panjandrum rolling bomb. That's cool as shit.
Yeah, explain what that one is, Kate.
You ever go to the circus and you see the lady stand inside the giant hula hoop and roll her whole body around?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's this, but with a bomb in the middle instead of a lady, basically. It was for D-Day, for getting bombs up on the beaches. It was designed to be launched from landing ships where rockets would propel a wheeled bomb towards enemy coastal defense positions. Here comes an ambulance next to my apartment as I read. But rockets were flying loose, tests were haywire, and the bombs went rolling off course. I imagine that being part of this testing was a large, tight butthole moment.
I think that's a good idea.
Yes, this is actually a really good idea. I understand this. Yeah. Just a different way to employ a bomb. And I think in theory, this is a great idea. And I definitely think we could get this one to work today.
Oh, yeah. That one, no doubt about it. We could get it to work. I mean, imagine how scary that would be.
Yeah.
It'd be like having segways just come at you like improvised explosive segways.
I'm just picturing they make like a little like a dummy on a Segway and you just know it's a bomb.
Yeah, the Soviets are also goofing. The next one is the IK-17 Shotzi.
I think that's what you have to.
You're
really rolling the dice when you mess with the 117 Shotzi. You know
that's
I mean?
Right. It's not a screenshot from an old scientific movie. So this one, you know, the old, I guess the picture this one, if you're listening, picture this one as like a tank. But it has one of those Bigfoot light bars on the top.
Picture a hillbilly Jeep with KC lights all over it, but on a tank. Yeah.
And those lights, instead of lights, they shoot out laser beams. I think we can make this one work, too.
Yeah. And you know, there's going to be some nerd that says, like, we employ laser beams all over the place right now, but I'm not buying it. Like, where are the just, like, the laser beam guns that just shoot a laser beam by itself, and that's how you get rid of the bad guys?
No.
Oh, I thought Kate was going to say something.
No, I was just thinking about my cat. I play with him with a laser beam all the time, but then I was like, don't say that out loud.
Yeah, that'd be fucked up. I'm glad you didn't say it. The next one is the M28-29 Davy Crockett. This one is right in Khan's wheelhouse. Now, this is a little bit of artillery goofing, and it has a nuclear warhead on the top. There's no doubt in my mind that we can make this one work. This one was called the Trident ICBM, and perhaps the strangest was the Davy Crockett. Technically, it's a recoilless rifle. The ammo shot it, but it was a small nuclear bomb with a range of 2.5 miles, an explosion equivalent to 20 tons of TNT. The Davy Crockett is perhaps the most insane infantry weapon ever created. I don't think if you're 2.5 miles from a nuclear blast, you got to still be in the danger zone big time.
1,000,000,000% you are. So that was probably, you know, one of the...
2.5 miles. Not that far. You're running a PFT for less.
Yeah, but maybe because we're thinking about the larger nuclear bombs that have been employed throughout history, maybe this explosion, 2.5 miles, you're still good. I don't know.
Is the term tactical nuke the most oxymoron phrase ever?
Yes. But Davy Crockett is a great name for a weapon.
I agree.
Imagine if you're the Davy Crockett PFC... I mean, it would stink to carry that thing because it looks pretty heavy, but...
Well, the reason why they called it that is because the way that it looks, if you put a little beaver tail on the back of it, it would look like a Davy Crockett hat.
I was going to say, your unit would have to put the beaver tail on the back, and then...
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Okay. And the last one is the 2BM Okra. The Davy Crockett isn't the only nuclear cannon. The T Bravo 1 Oka and its ridiculously large cannon is perhaps the most ridiculous. Taking its drivetrain from the T-10 heavy tank, this weapon had a 65-foot-long cannon with a diameter larger than the battleship's cannon and could fire a nuclear bomb 27 miles. Although it was discovered that the gargantuan cannon would, in fact, break the rest of the tank when fired. I think that's fine. Like, if you have a one-shot, one-kill, 25-mile nuclear weapon and it's going to destroy the tank, I mean, that's just the risk you take.
Yeah, like especially doing a, you're talking about nukes. Go ahead, Kate. I'm sorry.
You want to brag that you got a dingling big enough that you can do a cock push-up? Guess what? You can only do one, really.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point.
Let's move into save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
Well, I'm sorry. Before we get into that, can we talk a little bit about some technology that maybe was fluttering around but didn't ultimately take off? Because I had some ideas.
Sure.
Of course we can. And that technology that Kanz is talking about is NVETS. NVETS is changing the way that you can get a job after getting out of the military. There's current 80,000 job openings in Indiana, and NVETS.org is the digital connection point for employers specifically looking for veterans. NVET works with employers from all different industries across the state of Indiana to create a second door to the hiring process specifically for veterans and military spouses. NVET's veteran engagement team is standing by to work with you to help you find the right career in your transition. And Indiana's communities are consistently ranked as some of the top places to live and raise a family in the United States. Go to NVETS.org/zero to create a profile, learn more about Indiana communities, browse the current openings, and get a free t-shirt if you go to INVETS.org/zero. Kate, once again,
Indigo.
What's that phonetic alphabet?
Neato. Very cool, but not the cool part, but it is cool. Extremely awesome. Top ranking state. Super.
.org/zero. That's exactly right, Kate. Thank you very much, Kanz. What were you saying?
Oh, yeah. So there's just some technologies that I can't believe no longer exist today. I'm just going to rattle them off here. MySpace, man, there was nothing better than going to your past
page. Okay, I did a whole show on MySpace on Friday.
MySpace was great. AIM, Instant Messenger, that's too bad. I would have thought we'd had flying cars by now. Shout to Doc Brown. A Razor phone. It's like everyone's got an iPhone these days.
Oh, Razor phone's back.
Oh, are they? That's awesome. Because guess what? Everyone's got an iPhone. It doesn't really make you unique. When you had the Razor, you knew you were the cool guy in town. Hoverboards.
Poor lady.
Hoverboards, again, shout out to Marty McFly. And then finally, Theranos.
If it worked, it would have
That would
have
been cool if that worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine are only the Microsoft Zune and the original Google TV. Do you guys remember when Google TV first came out?
No, at all, actually.
Google TV, when it first came out. Do you remember, Kyle?
Google TV or Google Glass?
Google TV.
No.
So when Google TV first came out, there was this little, it was a white box that looked just like a normal Google device does, like the white color. And you could go in and you could search any TV show. And the way that they had set it up at the beginning, you could get anything you wanted. It was, didn't matter if it was copyright, didn't matter HBO or Showtime or whatever. They would find a place on the internet for you to watch it for free. You just had to type it in. Ooh. I bought that motherfucker. It was $500 within... And this was when I was still on active duty. When I, within maybe a week or two of me having it, they passed restrictions where Google TV was no longer. So then it was essentially a $500 DVD player.
That's
it worked at all after that.
Could you return it?
No.
Oh, that stinks.
Yeah, that you was live a terrible investment on, my part.
Hey, live and learn. Live and learn. That's a good lesson. Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
They need to bring back Zoom, too. All right, Kate, what do you got for Save Rounds Alibis?
Kind of a very sad week for the Coast Guard. Ensign Morgan Garrett was killed this weekend in a crash along with Lieutenant Rhiannon Ross of the Navy. They were on what I believe was a T-6B Texan trainer aircraft Friday, and both of those women were lost. Apparently, I was looking at Barstool Coast Guard's Instagram, and she was just, Ensign Morgan Garrett was just a super beloved member of the Coast Guard community, as I'm sure Lieutenant Ross was equally loved in the Navy, but it was just really heartbreaking to see something like that and to see these students mourning and their friends and family mourning. It's just a terrible thing. And then my other story from the Coast Guard, Coast Guard Station Hatteras Inlet is collecting clothes, money, and other needs for families. There was a fire there on Friday that claimed the lives of four people. that I believe were related to one of the Coast Guard members there. And a lot of families were displaced. It was a really awful thing. And they're looking for personal, if you're in that area, the Hatteras area, for boys and girls age 12, 7, 7, 4, 2, 7 months, all sorts of different stuff. These families lost everything pretty much. So really sad week at Cape Hatteras and for the Coast Guard Academy, just thinking of them. That's all.
All right, cons?
Did we mention last week that the Army-Navy game announced it was going to be up at West Point? I couldn't remember.
I think that came out after.
Yeah, so that's going to be played up at West Point for the first time since 1943. That'll be interesting. Stand by on whether or not we will be credentialed to go to that. Last night I was thinking, I don't stretch enough anymore. Because when I say enough, I don't at all, basically. Unless I'm getting ready to go run or do something, I don't stretch nearly enough, and I'm now realizing how detrimental that is to my health. So stretch. And finally, you listen to this, Tuesday, this evening, 2-hour season premiere, This Is Us. It's back, and I'm ready to cry. I'm ready for it.
All right, Kyle?
I would normally use my save round to shit on Kansas, especially because he mentioned a 2-hour series premiere, but I don't have anything, and I'm going to take the high road and let Kans enjoy that, and
thank you,
Bruce Springsteen.
Thank you. So if anyone has a group or a chat or a Google Sheet where they want to discuss Bruce Springsteen or This Is Us, just DM me.
Kans at barstoolsports.com. Email him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He answers everything back. Give it a test. All right. So mine is that I recently told you about a friend of mine who was in the army, got out and started a weightlifting company called Biggins, and it's like big guns, like get it, Biggins. And he sent me a set of the weights, and they've been sitting in my garage. This week on Sunday, I got the bar delivered. And then I got the weight bench, so I'm going to be back in the old weightlifting game upstairs. Me and my wife are going to do it, and I'm hanging up the heavy bag. So I'm going to do weightlifting and then some rounds on the heavy bag. I'm about to get back in shape, folks. No. Back
there
in
you
shape.
Go. Watch out, everybody.
Yep.
Oh, Lord, he's coming.
And I'm going to have to talk about it. Might have to do some podcasts with my shirt off. That's just a warning shot.
Oh, yay.
Because that's what everybody
Kate and
needs.
I are going to go opposite directions. She's going to be getting to 200, and I'm going to be getting there in a very different way.
I just broke 160, folks.
Oh, all right.
I'm up 30 pounds. Yeah,
40 lbs to go. Love it. Yeah. All right. That's it. Thanks for joining us, everybody. See you on Friday. It's on the retreat.